Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 8th, 2021. Your Fightful post-show review for WWE SmackDown and AEW Rampage. Bit of a programming note. Next Wednesday, no post-Dynamite show because instead, it'll be Saturday night. And this Saturday night, this Saturday in general, we've got a ton of stuff for you. We've got the Grapsody podcast, noon Eastern. You're going to want to check that out. And then we've got dueling podcasts. We've got a watch along for the Fury Wilder fight, which honestly it'll probably start after Kate and Denise team up to review Impact Knockouts Knockdown. Make sure you guys check that out. But we got Kate Hensler here. Kate, how you doing?
I am doing well. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to tune into Grapsody after everything that happened this week and find out their thoughts on some of the stuff that happened with Tessa Blanchard and the whatnot. So that has been already an awesome addition. So I can't wait to see what they have to say and to, I don't know, shut up and listen for a minute as a white girl. So,
well, if you guys want to see much more of Kate Hensler, Tuesday night, she and Alex did 2 hours and 40 minutes. So a little behind the scenes news. Almost every podcast you see on Fightful, I personally upload audio for. So I have to wait until they're done, download them, and put it up. So it's like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning or something. And I'm logging on. I'm like, why isn't this show able to be downloaded? And I look, and they're still live on the air. And you know what? I sent them a message and I was like, hey guys, maybe 90, 100 minutes. And then I looked at the super chats and I looked at the viewership and I said, you know what? I don't give a damn. You all can hang out here for 3 or 4 hours if you want. So apparently Tuesday nights after part, people get all ramped up with Tony D'Angelo, they're ready to party and they're ready to party for like 2 or 3 hours.
Dude, I was like very excited because when podcasts go really long, I would say 87% of the time it's my fault and I talk a lot. This is on Alex. Like the amount of time that is spent of just people being like, I want you to talk in this voice as this person doing this thing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's not my fault. That's so rare.
Hey, if we're making money, and I mean, you make more money when you do podcasts long. There you go. Well, it would help us out if we made money from you beautiful people. Please donate to Super Chat and get your question or statement read on the air. Please leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Over on Twitter, we have a Twitter stream of this. We have the YouTube videos posted. If you don't mind, give us a retweet, post us on Facebook, all that good stuff. It really helps spread the word of what we're doing. And the most direct way to support us is FightfulSelect.com. I had a couple of news items today. A pretty significant one came in the form of the third part of the WWE relationship story with USA, Fox, and now streaming services. And I'm not just talking about Peacock. I'm talking about their own, and I'm talking about Tubi. And some of you are going, what the hell is Tubi, and why should it even happen? Well, Tubi is Fox's streaming service, and there was another wrestling company that was going to land on Tubi, and WWE put the kibosh on it. FightfulSelect.com has that story. We have just a ton of draft news this weekend. I've got news on Gable Stevenson. I've got news on what the people that got drafted knew. I've got some news on some schedule changes for WWE coming soon. FightfulSelect.com. We broke all the news of WOW Women of Wrestling. We let you know when they started to talk to AJ Lee. Some other promoters are interested in her. We got some Thunder Rosa news, some Big E news that dropped on SmackDown tonight. Just tons of stuff over at FightfulSelect.com. So please go over there, support us, subscribe. We got a new podcast every day as well, but
I saw that MJF did an interview for you on with Thunder Rosa, so that's great. And then you were also there for part of it, so congrats on that.
Yeah, that did exist. We dropped our interview with Thunder Rosa today. Man.
I'll put it this way. If you people haven't signed up for Fightful Select, go to FightfulSelect.com. However, if you are subscribed to Fightful Select, thank you, Universe.
Also, Fightful. I mean, if you are subscribed, subscribe again. Use a different credit card. Create a second account. Log in on your Firefox and your Chrome and just duel them out. See which one loads faster. It can become like a cool game where you give us more money. We greatly appreciate it. I got a bunch more interviews dropping this week as well, guys, or next week. You're going to love it. We're going to start by talking about AEW Rampage. Oscar Villanueva says, Rampage is a fun show, but the time slot is death in the long run. What do you think is a realistic programming and time slot for Rampage? Kate, I think that either Monday at 7 p.m. or Friday at 7 p.m. are better options. I think maybe Friday at 7 is a better option because I don't know if people really want to hang out and watch wrestling for 4 hours. But I think Friday at 7 p.m. would be much better.
Yeah, and even if you... How many people are watching AEW that also watch Raw versus how many people that are watching AEW also watch SmackDown is something that's very interesting to me. Because if I didn't get paid to pay attention to WWE programming, I wouldn't pay attention to Raw at all. Sure. I pay attention to it for continuity reasons with SmackDown. But even if there's like a half hour overlap, because WWE often starts their main roster programming with these eternally long promos, I don't know if that's like the worst thing, but yeah, this is not something that feels sustainable in the long run. I'm interested to see if they switch that when they move to TBS as well. So I'm intrigued, but this, I'm in agreement that this does not feel sustainable. And it's not just because I do a podcast after it. That's my favorite part. But it just, there's other options. So why take this one, if that makes sense?
Does make sense. Ryan Sullivan says, Sean, I hope you have the ability to have both Catherine and Denise muted at times tomorrow. It doesn't feel right without a mute. I'll see what I can do. Anything's possible, as they say. And I think anything's possible is pretty well the story of Daniel Garcia's career. I mean, after all he's already been through, like throughout his career and what he's overcome, and now here he is in AEW, and he's not only working CM Punk, Kate, he's cutting a promo against him to kick off the show. I love that. Daniel Garcia brought up a good point. He's like, you're complaining about us attacking you, but what would you do if you were me? What would 23-year-old CM Punk do? And CM Punk says, well, 23-year-old me wouldn't be hanging out with the Nasty Boys, younger brothers.
No, and certainly not. But he would be wearing Nasty Boys inspired kicks.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that was going to get made for him. I liked that part of the promo. I did not like when they were like, you took your ball and went home, voice of the voiceless, because he already said he's not the voice of the voiceless anymore. So yeah. I thought it was weird that they kind of regurgitated that.
I loved him calling himself, I think it's Ray Bork. I think that's the name. But he was the old ass hockey player that just hung around forever. I love that him drawing that comparison to himself.
It's great. And like, this is a very fun face version of CM Punk. I always think the money is in Punk as a heel, but like, that's not realistic considering how monumental his return was. This has been a really good run. And I think it's because it feels authentic. Like, he seems genuinely happy to be there. I also like that we're getting him on Rampage and on Dynamite and on pay-per-views. Like, that's also very cool. So I'm with you. As far as the actual match went, man, I loved this match. I thought the value of CM Punk him, he's my favorite wrestler, and Eddie Kingston's not far behind, and they do very similar things, and that every move that they make in the ring matters and has a purpose to it. There was a lot of that that happened today with Daniel Garcia, and it also gave room for Daniel Garcia to be able to do what he does best, which is kind of just fucking wrestle. Yeah, like, technically wrestle really, really well.
One of my favorite spots was Daniel Garcia kicks out and his leg ends up like around CM Punk's like head, his shoulders, and he's trying to lock on something there. Don't know what, but it's like, why wouldn't he try? Why wouldn't he try? There's that element that so very few pro wrestlers have that Daniel Garcia has, and it is look like you're always trying to win the match no matter what. Like there are a lot that do get caught up in the entertainment, and that's okay. There's a performative aspect, but some of the really, really good ones, it's just every move they make, it looks like they're trying to pin somebody's shoulders to the mat. For example, almost every wrestler you see, if they knock somebody down and that person lays there flat on their back, they're going to try to pin them. You might say, oh, really? After like a little elbow? Well, yeah, because the whole point is to get their shoulders on the mat. Doesn't matter if it's an elbow or a pile driver from 20 feet up. He's so good at always looking like he's trying to win. And 2.0 are the perfect complement for him. My God, they're so good together.
They really are. And AEW seems to be good at smushing together people that don't necessarily make all that much sense. JD Drake does not feel like a wingman to me. Like, yeah. I always had him pegged as like an old school guy. Best Friends is like this totally weird mishmash that somehow works. I like that you're like, I can't put my finger on it, but this makes sense. This is another one of those situations. I really like 2.0. I'm excited that they're there. I feel like they fit in really quickly, really fast. And this opening match, I'm a Punk gal, but like the three matches that he's coming and given, he clearly is here to put over young talent, and he's playing the I'm a veteran card, which is good because when you use ring psychology as a storytelling device, if you're working with younger people, you can make every match feel very close. And then you can just outsmart them because you're smart, because you're the veteran. Like, to be able to lean into that so heavily, so early into what he's doing, it really makes you think, because one of these young kids is going to beat him at some point, right? So it's nice because it gives you that buy-in effect with the stories that they're telling so far with Punk. And Garcia, I have nothing but good things to say about him. He's just fantastic.
And of course, the finish here was magical. It's CM Punk hitting a beautiful pile driver. And I mean, CM Punk is like the only guy to hit a straight up pile driver in WWE in like the last 20 years, probably. So, you know, he was all too excited to make that happen. And then it did. And then he finished off Daniel Garcia with the Anaconda Vice. Beautiful. He effectively established two moves because he hasn't used a pile driver in a long time, obviously. And that could have finished Garcia.
Sure.
But he went to the Anaconda Vice. I thought that was a really smart way to do things.
I did too. And just those little details of like keeping it locked in a little longer, even though he's a face. Like, to me, that was such like an exclamation point that he wasn't going to let this young kid out of it. Like, he was going to make sure it was locked in and make sure that was counted, make sure this match was over. Like, all of those details make pro wrestling so great. What an opener. And, I think Garcia, like, 21 years old, 22 years old? 23. Okay. So, even in the baby crop, real young. So, I think he has a super bright future, and I can't wait to see him and Daniel Bryan. Or, I'm sorry, Bryan American Dragon.
Just call him Bryan.
Brian. Or I said it's going to be a battle of the Daniels. You got Daniel Garcia and then Daniel Sin. Like, let's rock and roll. So I think that match is going to be like a dream match. I didn't know I needed across generations. How cool is that going to be?
Yeah, I love the Pepsi twist as well. The hammerlock clothesline using that. And he does it so well. Eloquent says, I love that every CM Punk match is a new strategy. Yes. So his work in WWE was good. It was good. Especially, I mean, like there was a real underrated era of WWE wrestling in like 2013. It's when they had really gotten the groove of those 3-hour Raws. You had the Shield there. You had the Wyatt family emerging. Like, they found a real in-ring groove in 2013. But Punk was working that WWE style. You're starting to see him switch it up and be that guy that did a lot of different things physically that made a lot of people like him and made him stand out. Cliff Beard says, since MJF, Darby, Jungle Boy, Sammy are the current four pillars, who do you think are the next four? It depends. If you can't count Ricky Starks because of NWA, which I think you could, because he says he's homegrown AEW, I would say probably Starks, Garcia, and I think you probably put Britt in there. I think probably Britt and maybe Cargill, depending on how well she takes to wrestling, based on her push, though. It really depends, but I think Britt's got to be in there.
Britt, and I would maybe even throw Statlander in there too, depending on where she goes. But man, since she's come back, she has looked absolutely fantastic. Yeah. It's kind of tricky to say with those pillars, like if you're counting them as day one people or people that doesn't, like Eddie Kingston feels like a pillar, you know? I don't know. Like, I'm with you though.
Britt is on a global scale. A huge audience was exposed to him through AEW. I know he appeared on other. Somebody says Hook is all four pillars.
That's Hook is all four pillars. Touche. Well done.
Ashe says, loved MJF's interruptions during SRS's interviews. No, thank you. Cyclops says, no one is more homegrown than Hobbs. You know what? That's a good shout. That's a very good shout.
Yes, but I haven't. I've seen one really strong match out of him, and that was with Punk, I think. So it depends on how he develops from here, I would say. Probably Paul White is probably the first pillar I would throw in there. Let's just do that. The Snake Roberts.
We got Leo backstage with Dante Martin, and Jay Shell says, how far out do you think Dante is from a star push? I think he's a ways. I think he's going to work on his promos. He's got Leo Rush there to help him work promos, which is good. His brother's going to come back. They're going to do a tag run. He's got plenty of time, and there are a whole lot of people ahead of him. In the ring, he's going to keep doing amazing things. But Leo Rush is showing Matt Sydal that he's not a con man, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to get you a match with CM Punk. And Matt Sydal's like, if you can do that, I'll believe in you. I like that. It's like, why wouldn't he be in Matt Sydal's favor? If Leo could get him a match with Punk, which he did, why wouldn't he be? It's the first match they've had in 9 years. They had a WWE title match in Australia, first on TV in like 11 years. They first wrestled each other in 2004. A lot of history. We know Punk's going to win next week, but I can't wait for this match, and I love the promo.
Why not? Like, there's a few things I really like about this. One, my hope is where this is heading is that Leo Rush is going to go pry Private Party away from Matt Hardy and say, he hasn't done anything for you. And look at what an honest business guy I am. I got Sydal a match with Punk. I got X, Y, and Z unfolding over the next couple weeks. And that's where it eventually heads. I would love that because Hardy Family Office constantly loses and it's not working. It's just a bunch of people. So I think that would be a great story to tell. So I really liked that. Very in on the former Kofi Kingston tag team partners match in Sydal and Punk. I think that'll be a great match. I was not like the most excited about Sydal coming over, but he has proven me wrong. I feel like he's been so versatile. He's somebody that can eat losses. He's someone that can make other people look good. Like, I think because it was in a Joker spot and I was like expecting a big reveal. Sure. That didn't like hit for me as much, but he has given a lot of people a lot of really great matches. He gave Brian Cage his first solid match, I think, in AEW. So I think that's going to be great. And it's kind of fun to see Punk work now with someone who is a little more established. Like, we can head a little bit in a different direction for 1 week. I'm just a little confused because it seemed like he was going after Team Taz and now we've gotten this swerve, but I'm wondering if that's just so that we could finally have this Cage and Starks blow off. And you can just throw Punk back into that. Like, there's no harm in that being on delay, but just a little bit of a switch of storyline without a ton of explanation.
Rivenblade says, tonight's Rampage is the episode I'd show non-AEW fans. A classic one-on-one match, high-octane tag, a star-powered squash, an intense main. I loved it. It was a good one. I rather enjoyed this episode of Rampage. We had Jade Cargill smashing Sky Blue. I mean, kind of figured this would happen. But Jade Cargill getting that push, I think she's headed towards the TBS title. I thought this was fine. It is what it is. It's a Jade Cargill squash match. Maybe they'll turn that title into Jade Goldberging people, which if they can get away with it, sure. But it seems to me like she's being built for that.
Or at least in the finals. We'll see what the blow off is. Her and Thunder Rosa seemingly having a skirmish definitely throws an interesting wrinkle. Yes. This was fine.
Apparently Rosa brought the chair from the last city.
Girl, just find a new chair. There's no way. It didn't cost more to ship that chair. I think, you know, this was perfectly fine. It made sense in the context it was in. It was just very disappointing that in 4 hours of wrestling, we got like 5 cumulative minutes of women's wrestling, especially after the week that we've had. So that part was disappointing. This, however, made sense. I would have just liked to have seen another women's match on the card instead. But
if AEW had any idea how SmackDown would go tonight, they would have booked a match that went longer just for the sake of doing it.
I think so too. Like, sincerely do.
Yeah. We had the Lucha Brothers against the Acclaimed. I love AEW's way of booking stuff like this. It's like, all right, well, the Acclaimed are popular. They're on a bit of a roll. They're going to get buzz for what they do. That's cool. But they're not going to be at the top of the line. They're not going to be champions anytime soon. So give them their, I think they've won like 4 or 5 straight matches in a row. And then give them their title shot. They lose. They lost fair and square. No big deal. Doesn't hurt them. Move them to the back of the line. You can reset the method. Like, it's not the end of the world. Like, unfortunately, we've seen so many times in pro wrestling where if it's not somebody's time, like, they get put on ice or they're just treading water. They can lose to the best tag team in the world. It's okay. And that's what happened here because they stomped Anthony Bowen's ball sack.
They really did. They redeemed his nuts.
They did.
Hard. I really, really liked this match. And I agree with you. I like the booking. There's this guy on Fightful named Sean Ross Sapp who sometimes says, sometimes wrestlers just beat other wrestlers and that's okay. This is a good example of that. Good thinking from my smart boss, who is not on anybody's payroll. He just makes great observations. I agree with...
I'm on Fightful's payroll for the next 8 years. 8 years. I'm signed through 2029.
Congratulations on your extension.
And if you want an extension...
They'll be back. This match is great. It continues to... The only thing that I have found got like sneaky reactions to me in AEW, like as far as pops or boos, has been the Lucha Brothers. I knew people liked them, but they get a huge pop, which I don't think I heard it in Chicago. Obviously, it was insane. And then live at Arthur Ashe when we were there.
All out. There was a kick out in the middle of the match that specifically, like, it was one of the most, it was almost an out-of-body experience. And this stands out to me beyond Brian and Cole. There was a kick out in the middle of the match, and anybody there will know exactly the one I'm talking about, because a kick out about 10 minutes into the match got everybody on their feet and aggressively cheered for Lucha Brothers.
Wow.
Like, people were pointing at the ring and shaking their fists. It was incredible. It was so special. So special. And I'm good with them getting the win. I mean, cool.
Yeah, of course.
They're the best tag team in the world. They beat the Acclaimed, another a popular team. It's a world tag title match on a Friday night. And then you know what? This is just, it's why you build teams up on Dark. And so help me God, if I see one more dork on there saying, they're just padding records on Dark. That's what they're doing. Yeah, bro. It's fake. They can do that. It ain't real.
Yeah.
Is they like Tyson Fury or something going out and punching some dork? And he doesn't do that either, but it's what you do. You get them wins, give them a reason to get that title shot, Kate.
Yeah.
And then back of the line, cool.
I complain consistently about the rankings, but I will say this, never once have they said that the number one contender comes from the top of the rankings. They choose to use it when they want to. That drives me crazy. But they don't break that rule because they've never said it. So they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, I don't give a damn about the rankings. As long as they've won a few matches in a row, that's all I need. That's all I really need.
We do have to also mention that in the wrap, they made an Arn Anderson's clock reference.
Yes, they did. It got a huge pop.
It did. It got a huge pop. Like almost a babyface rap. Like there was nothing really insulting until that Rocky line.
Yeah, the Rocky line.
Yeah, but I was like, you have to get the Arn Anderson line in. I don't care that it's not heelish. That rules.
They popped for the Ben Simmons line too, which I really liked. I'm excited to hear Joe Hulbert talk about that. Cliff Beard says, Thunder Chairwoman Rosa, indeed. Get your super chats in, guys. We are heading towards the main event of Rampage. But Dr. Six Fingers Esquire said, did they announce a number one contender title tourney? Did they announce a number one contender tourney for a title shot at Full Gear? Are we getting Hangman Omega on cable? Will it be the 27th? Everything humps. No. What they announced was next week.
No, you can't just place like that last sentence. You created this, Sean Ross.
No, world title eliminator tourney starts next week on Rampage. Starts. And the finals are at Full Gear. Yes, it will hump. So next week on Rampage, we have Punk and Sydal, Ruby versus the Bunny, Inner Circle versus Men of the Year, and Junior Dos Santos. Dynamite the next night is live. Dante Martin, Malakai Black, Lucha Brothers versus Andrade's mystery team. A mystery masked team, it said. Why did I pop at that? It's like a masked team.
Like,
and I'm like,
who cares? Why do they have to be masked if they're already a mystery? Like
Carmella.
Oh God.
It's Carmella. And listen, she's way hotter than Rey Fénix.
First of all, how dare you about Rey Fénix? Okay. We don't know what he looks like under his mask. We know what Carmella looks like under her AC Moore Michaels.
I know what Rey Fénix looks like under his mask.
All right. Well, you're an outsider.
Daniel. We got Danielson versus Bobby Fish.
Hell yes. So much hell yes.
I hope that the pace has stepped up a little bit from the Sammy match, but I'm not confident in that because this is the kind of match that Brian American Dragonson does. He loves the methodical match, and that's what he did outside of WWE. But it's stacked. Cliff Beard says world title eliminator finals of the pay-per-view should be Cole versus Brian, throwing guys like Eddie and Hardy in it as well. I'm confident in what they're going to do. I'm very confident in what they're going to do because they've given me not much of a reason to doubt it. Mikey T MMA says Kate's a rock star and SRS is very tall. I found myself watching SmackDown as a lead into Rampage here lately. Can we correlate any of WWE's success on Friday nights to AEW doing 500 to 6,000 K a week right after? I really enjoy Rampage. Usually Kate is a rock star. I think WWE and SmackDown are standing on their own, Kate. I mean, even though we're going to go off on it here in a bit.
I'm hearing from sources that you are also very tall. So everything in that super true. chat is true.
It's very true. But I mean, SmackDown's the number one most viewed wrestling show in the world.
In the world. Yeah. I don't think they're that related. I think if it was Dynamite, you would see that. But I also think that probably everybody sees the handwriting on the wall that this is not a great time slot for them. So they're not going to get married to competing with a product that A, isn't directly competing with them, and B, probably going to move anyway, I would think.
Kenshiro says, hell no, Sean, Brian, and Fish should just have the Ibushi Taichi match where they only kick each other for 15 minutes. Oh, that sounds rad to me.
That sounds
amazing to me. I love that. We had Ricky Starks against Brian Cage 2, a Philly Street fight. I got to say, this match was over before it started. Do you know why?
I do not.
Did you see Ricky Starks' tweet?
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to go ahead and pull it up for everybody.
Please do.
gonna make sure I pull up this screenshot. I wish I had it prepared, but
the
match was fine, but it's tough for me to get super into Brian Cage's work. It's just tough. But Brian Cage said on Twitter, "Ricky, where is the Philly street fight?" And Ricky said, "In Philly, you big dumb bitch."
When I tell you I popped off of my couch when I read that, that's not hyperbole. I like stood up and was laughing. It cracked me up so hard. I am ready for this angle to be over.
Me too.
It has started and stopped like 100 times. It is not working for me with Brian Cage. I'm ready for him to move on. I'm ready for Ricky Starks to break out as the star that he definitely is. Like,
it's hard to get behind a Brian Cage as a fan. It's like, because there's nothing relatable about him, but he also doesn't have like the dominant squash matches. There's not an identifiable character trait that you look at and you go, I empathize with that guy.
Well, we have the same weight regimen, but other than that, like, other than that, we lift the same. No, I'm with you. And I was trying to think about this. I was like, he hasn't really been in any other feud since he's been in AEW. Like, he had that great match with Hangman, but that was kind of one-off-ish. Yeah. Like, there's not a lot to dig into here. And it's also very hard because I'll boo Ricky Starks with a wink and a nod, but I love him. Like, yeah. And when you're up against a heel, we just saw it with Cody. It's becoming more and more clear to me every week that part of why Cody is getting booed is because Malakai Black is so over.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to then go cheer for Brian Cage when you actually really like Ricky Starks. Like, that's a tricky thing. But I just, yeah, I'm not into this iteration of Cage so far. And I think he just needs something new to do. This has been going on forever.
All due respect to Brian Cage. And I mean, he's had a lot of really great matches. Lucha Underground, PWG especially. He had a lot of good wins in Impact. I had good wins in Japan. I've watched every one of his PWG matches, everything he ever did in Impact. Even as good as the Hangman Page match was, I don't think any of his matches in AEW crack his top 30 that I've ever seen. And it's been a year and a half there. Ricky's head bounced off of the chair in the corner. That was filthy. Sawyer says, I thought Brian Cage was totally fine as a monster heel. We'll never understand the face turner why Team Taz needed a civil war. Me either. I just think that was probably the best use for him, and I don't know what they're going to do there. Somebody says, have we seen Tony's tweets yet? Tony says, I saw you're doing a half hour head-to-head with us. I can't wait to finally beat your main show head to head. It's been a long time coming. See you next Friday for AEW Rampage on TNT. A damn. So SmackDown is going to be on FS1 next week and is going like 2.5 hours.
I don't think that was smart. This is like Giancarlo Stanton tweeting that the Yankees can't be stopped and them getting stopped in the first inning. I have a lot of feelings about that. I don't want to keep you here all night. But this is just stupid.
Oh, like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Pleasantly surprised.
Somebody says, Tony, worry about your own show. And he said, I already announced the AEW Rampage card live next Friday and it's straight fire, Chief.
Okay, so no, he's just having fun. I take back everything I said.
I love it.
He's just having fun.
Guys, he's very self-aware. Like, the only room for one con in pro wrestling video, that was very funny. Like, he grew up around the Monday Night War era of Billionaire Ted and Bischoff and Vince and the Cornette promos on WCW. Like, this stuff is healthy, it's fun, and it's harmless. Ain't nobody getting hurt by those tweets. People saying, Tony needs to focus on his own product. What do you think WWE's doing? You think that was an accident, booking 2.5 hours? Who could possibly give a shit? Do it. Compete with each other. Make your shows better. That way other people want to watch them. Who cares? Good for both of them.
I think, yeah, I don't think I've ever doubted that Tony Khan has focused on his own product. He seems like he's a madman who works on it all day. I'll be honest, it seems like he probably does like a line of cocaine and
let's not speculate that. Let's not do that. We can't do that. That will get us angry AEW people. But
energy wise, it seems that way.
Sure, he's a very energetic fella. But Intangible and Clipbeard says straight fire chief is the best line of the night.
Good promo.
Well,
from
not if Kate has anything to say about it. It's not the best line of the night. Hannah M says the whole last 30 will be Roman. His entrance will be all it is. But Rich McCann says super excited for the TBS title. Don't want Jade to win and she isn't ready for a title. Please let Deeb win after Wednesday. She's amazing. Deeb is really special. She is the Bret Hart of that women's division. She is so good. Andrew said, I popped for Jericho shouting, send Hook.
Yes.
Was that him or was that Taz?
No. Taz said, send Hobbs. And Jericho goes, send Hobbs, send Hook, like three times in a row. And Taz goes, send Hobbs and Hook.
So I was going to bitch about Jericho's commentary. I'm going to let it slide after that. I'm going to let that one slide. Because he asked us to send Hook. Ashe says, a rising tide lifts all boats. So I'm sure WWE's ratings and AEW's ratings are affecting each other positively. Too. No, I think that probably AEW's ratings are being affected positively by WWE's on Friday because that's WWE's A show and Friday is a death slot. Mikey T says, my last super chat was a stretch, but just curious to hear your all's thoughts because you all are the best and I appreciate your all's input. Take my money. Well, we appreciate you. I don't think that Rampage significantly affects WWE's viewership in this sense, just because of the time slot, the network, and it's the A show, but you never know.
I would also venture to say that NXT and AEW affecting each other made sense because they were closer products. I think Rampage is far enough away from Dynamite, never mind what WWE is doing, that they would affect each other too much.
Well, it's time to talk about the blue brand. The one that everybody's been looking for, the one that gets you really excited, pumped up, amped up, and a hard, erect penis. It's BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Blue Chew brings you a chewable with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work, but they work on your schedule. Having performance anxiety, Blue Chew has you covered. It's not just for people that have a problem. It's for that confidence. You want that confidence to be able to wear bangs like Kate does. And if you want to wear your bangs with the most confidence you ever had, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL is there for you. And it's discreet, a lot more discreet than Kate's Twitter game over the last couple of days. That much I tell you. It's prepared and shipped direct in the United States. Right to your door, so the mailman's not going to know what's up. Unless you tell him. Let me tell you, I've got all kinds of theories about hooking up with your mailman. And there's all kinds of special deliveries and package references and all that. But a Blue Chew will make sure you're the talk of the town. And we'll be discreet that long because when you're slinging that thing to somebody, they're going to go tell everybody, including the mailman. The mailman's going to be like, listen, usually I'm just here for the mail, but now I'm here for dat dick. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL gets your first shipment free. Just pay $5 shipping. The code FIGHTFUL gets your first shipment free. It's a good time.
What a scandalous mailman you have in your neighborhood.
Oh, listen, I've got too many like segues and references and possibilities of the mailman and all that stuff. We don't have a mailman here. Everybody in my town has a P.O. box. Like, unless it's UPS or FedEx or something like that, what? Everybody's got a P.O. box. Nobody gets mail delivered to their home here.
That's precious.
Yep. It's a very small town. Orlando Arego says, didn't know SmackDown was 2.5 hours. Well, I'll watch it the next night since I'll be at Rampage next Friday in Miami. I hope you have fun. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
You know.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Kenshiro says, if you want the fabled Women's Evolution, Impact, Tokyo Joshi, and Stardom are all having big shows tomorrow. Shame that the WoW reboot is already dead. I've got plenty of thoughts on that one, my friends. And, you know, maybe I'll save it for next Wednesday when listening, you boy. But, I mean, I'll be talking about it on the Fightful Select Backstage Report this Monday because I broke the news of WoW coming back. But, I got some thoughts on that and that method, and I don't think it's going to work. Orlando says, Kate is a great model for that product. She is. She is.
Thank you. I Vanna Whited the shit out of your Bluetooth read.
Valab says, Jericho is a hooker. Well played.
Oh, my God. Can that please be a creative thing that all of, like, Hook's little fangirls and boys are called hookers?
Did you watch when Test was around and Stacy called his fans testicles?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch, but I know of it. Yeah.
SmackDown, we got a Hit Row package. This is cool. Just introducing them. They'll be around, I guess, in like 3 weeks when the rosters take effect, Kate.
Please don't ruin them. Please don't ruin them. Please don't ruin them. Please don't let old white guys ruin the cool splash thing that's on that television.
Well, here we go. We're going to go ahead and talk about Toni Storm, who, by the way, really likes the 80s, Kate.
No. Really?
Bruce and Vince saw her jacket and they said, okay, here we go. So Toni's back in the Queen's Crown bracket and she loses in a couple of minutes to Zelina. Now, I'll speak on the positive right now. The finish, I adored it. Toni's got Zelina up in like a gory special, looking like a gory bomb. Zelina does a code red. That's where the positive ends. Because what we're going to do is lump this in to Liv versus Carmella because there ain't shit to talk about in either one of these matches except for the bad booking. Because Liv and Carmella had 50-50, had somebody with the balls to say to me, well, that's because Liv's moving to Raw. Guess where Carmella's moving, pal? To Raw. This is stupid. Did we need the Madcap Moss segment? No. Did we need a 42-minute entrance for Roman Reigns? No.
Did we need a 640th contract signing with Becky and
They didn't sign a damn contract.
They didn't sign a contract. They had to
sign it backstage, and Becky hit Adam Pearce in the wiener. Like, and WWE
and
hit us in the wiener.
A fully erect wiener with Bluetooth code Fightful because all you had to do was pay shipping, so it probably really hurt.
We by far got the most super chats about this than anything. Uh-huh. And what we have is less than four minutes of in-ring action. By the way, Toni Storm did an atomic drop because she loves the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's when they did that move. What the hell is going on here? What possible benefit could there be from Carmella and Zelina winning their matches? This is a slam dunk decision, Toni and Liv.
Yeah, so first of all, we also got a promo from Zelina, and I just have a hard time buying what you're saying when you've won one match in the last 18 months.
By the way, they sent her out there before the commercial, and she just had to dance to her own entrance music for like 4 minutes.
So long, dear. And uncomfortable and awkward. Yeah, you know what? It's very upsetting as a female wrestling fan and a fan of women's wrestling to have all these wonderful things being announced this week with the TBS title and a tournament. And I'm a huge tournament mark in general. I thought this is going to be such a good reset. Tournaments can be such a good reset. It can clarify who your card is because you just broke up every women's tag team other than your champions. It can create storylines. That's why I love New Japan so much. I'm a tournament mark. It feels like a sport when you do tournaments. Why isn't it called Queen of the Ring? This is just the most, sorry for cursing, dog shit way to start this. Like, the fact that Liv beat Carmella 3 times already. Maybe four? Or is it 3? It might be 4.
It's several.
It's enough that this should be over. And why are you starting a new feud going into tournament anyway? It makes
I had somebody say, oh, well, you wouldn't complain if Brian and Omega had 5 matches. Yes, in 3 months, I would. Because it's not special anymore. And somebody said, what about Benoit and Booker T? And I'm like, okay, good. You're naming the one time in the last 25 years that this has worked, except maybe Cesaro and Sheamus because that birthed the tag team. Maybe twice out of the dozens of times they've done it. And I didn't need all those matches for that.
That also had an end game. This does not. And no offense to Liv or Carmella. I think Carmella is drastically underrated for how great she is personality-wise in the ring. And I think Liv has grown tremendously. Also, Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson is a literal dream match for all of wrestling history. And I still don't want to see it 5 times in 3 months. I'm excited to see Kenny Omega and Adam Page once over 2 years, basically, or like 2 times. It's so insulting to Liv as a performer and to fans, like all in one shot. I was actually almost impressed by how disrespectful they managed to be to women's wrestling in just under 3 minutes. It's really insulting. But back to Zelina and Tony. Tony should have won this. Zelina being in this tournament doesn't even make sense. Shotzi and Tegan are not in this tournament and they just split up as a tag team. They're not even going to face each other at any point in this. It just makes no sense to have a tournament to carry over old storylines in general, never mind ones that, my God, if they were horses, they would be glue by now tired. Like, you have a tournament, you don't need any motivation to start a feud other than the fact that you're trying to win the title.
Yes.
It's the perfect reset button. It makes no sense.
That's why all this stuff is supposed to be important. The title is supposed to be important. The crown is supposed to be important. When you make that stuff important, everything below it is more important because everybody is trying to position themselves to get there. And then when one person prevents somebody from getting there, that creates a conflict within. This shit ain't rocket science.
No.
It's not as hard as they make it. But what WWE likes to do is, oh, well, the quick loss means that somebody's protected. No, the quick loss makes somebody look like a chump. It makes them look bad.
And not tournament worthy. It's stupid. Zelina lost to all. Tony Storm has had 1 victory and wrestled twice since she's been on the main roster. And now she looks like an idiot. And guess what? Zelina ain't winning this thing. She's probably going to lose next round. So that makes no sense. Carmella ain't winning this thing either, I don't think. And so to have her beat Liv when she couldn't, but now because she wears a mask with fabric from Joanne's fabric to protect her face, all of a sudden she can win. And Liv Morgan is an idiot, it turns out. So just despicable and insulting. And a week that should be very exciting for women's wrestling fans, this has not been because of this tournament and several other things that have unfolded, which is very upsetting. It really did the same thing that when they announced all those NXT releases in the middle of the episode, I couldn't really focus anymore. Like when Liv lost, I was kind of out of it. And then they followed it up with Madcap Moss beating Kevin Owens up. I was checked out.
They had Adam Cole in Vince's office giving him pitches, and he walks out to hear, Hey, Bobby Fish just released. By the way, that guy that you just teamed with for like several years, he's fired. He's fired, by the way. Bunch of super chats about this. Aaron World Order says, I think Shayna wins the Queen's Crown tournament. Lord, I hope so. But you know what? She's facing Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke, who she just freaking crushed. Andrew says that Liv got bangs because Kate has bangs. We can get bangs when you use BlueChew.com.
She did, though.
Dante says, remember Toni Storm versus Kairi Sane? Neither does WWE, apparently. I feel bad for her and Liv, who has never been given a chance to shine. I believe there's more to all this than what is on the surface. I'm working on trying to find out more. It's just what an embarrassing booking situation. And Bezos says, I want to know who they think wants to see Mella versus Zelina. I don't, who could want to? I mean, no offense.
14-year-olds with hormones.
No, never mind. I mean, all due respect to both of those women, but
it's not even their fault either.
And yeah, it's not their fault, but Jesus, man. Jesus, man. I don't get it. I just don't understand. Evan Wright says, Dana Brooke getting that win back, brother, as if. If they do that, I will flip out on the post show. Intangible
well,
one
now
says,
I want them to do it because I don't have faith in booking the rest of the tournament. So if we had an SRS flip out, I'm game.
Oh boy. That's maybe the highlight. Cliff Beard says, hello to the Iron Woman, Fightful Killer Kate, not Caitlin, and SRS. Boy, SmackDown's you. Women division did not look good tonight. Belair is on Raw. Well, Belair's about all that looked good there. Josh Tolman says, why should I care if my favorite wrestlers or about my favorite wrestlers if they do this crap? Why should I get invested? I'm just tired of it. It seems like WWE's only route to booking major, major baby faces is, well, we'll just book them like dog shit until eventually the fans get so fed up with it that they have this groundswell of support. See Kofi Kingston. See Becky Lynch. See Daniel Bryan. It happens way too much.
It's the only thing that, like, since CM Punk's promo, they have just been like, well, we'll just blue ball people until they're super over. And they don't always pull the trigger, by the way. Look at freaking Naomi. Like, what, 6 years? It's so insulting, and it's so simple to correct. Look what happened when they actually pulled the trigger with Big E. Everyone got real excited, and your ratings went up. Like, it just defeats the whole purpose of a tournament. I don't understand it. Like, man. And by the way, before you come at me with your Homer bullshit about AEW, their tournaments for women suck too. The Joshi one set up no storylines and was on 3 different platforms that I couldn't like even follow it. And the tag team one didn't really do anything but give us Tay Conti. So if you told me at the beginning of the year that the best women's, actually, I'm trying to think if Impact did anything, but like Ring of Honor so far has had the best women's tournament that I can think of.
The homecoming tournament was better than the stuff, the mixed tag. That was better.
My goodness.
Cliff Beard says, we're due an epic SRS rant. Andrew says, I champion Zelina and Carmella as the only other tag team. Now they're facing each other. Yep, those are the breaks, man. Andrew Lolivar said, imagine the godly story between Kofi and Woods in the semis, but based on tonight's booking, Woods probably loses in round one and Mahal is the winner of King of the Ring.
Oh, no. That's alarmingly possible.
They love to do these things in Saudi that don't mean anything. Greatest Royal Rumble didn't mean anything.
No.
The Shane McMahon tournament didn't mean anything. The world's best tag team didn't mean anything there.
Nope.
Shauna says, do you think Carmella and Zelina is winning as a setup squash for Shayna or Doudrop at Sands of Time? Shayna could have squashed Tony or Liv if they got a strong run to the finals. It's okay. Sometimes, like I said, good wrestlers beat other good wrestlers, but WWE just doesn't do that. I don't know what the deal is.
They've been doing this all over the place. Stop booking people that both need wins against each other. It drives me crazy. You can book anything in the world.
You write the shows.
You
decide
what?
Who wins and loses.
Zelina and Tony both needed wins. And by the way, I normally love Pat McAfee. His dad jokes about Toni Storm's 80s gear made me want to jump off a bridge. Like, this 80s thing with Toni is not meant to be a comedy gimmick. What are you doing?
Eloquent says, hey, I like the AEW women's tourney.
I'm glad. I like it when want people like stuff. It didn't accomplish the thing that a tournament should set up, which is other storylines, clarifying who's important in your division. And by the way, Ryo Mizunami is not like on the roster and was there for like 2 weeks. So it, to me, was a failure, but some of the matches were really good.
There you go. Jay Shell says, tiring episode of SmackDown. Looking forward to the Queen of the Ring, but they killed that. My teacher's assistant textbook is more interesting than the show.
Is Drew McIntyre your teacher?
Oh, man. I admire the teacher's assistants of the world, making things easier for our great teachers. Anthony Velasquez says, hope Rampage was good. Haven't watched it yet, but SmackDown was giving no time to their women's matches. Two that went a combined 4 or 5 minutes. It was a sad state of affair, Anthony. It was rough. They got to do better. But I had women on the roster that feared this was going to happen about 6 months ago. They feared this would happen.
They were right.
Orlando Arrego says, any word on WWE superstars who don't want to go to Sands of Time? Yes, I have heard of several. I'm not going to like report them because, I mean, I've heard about them, but I don't, you know, want to cause any issues there. But there's several. I'll work to get that whenever I can, as effectively as I can, and be able to report it without causing any stir there. I mean, that's quite frankly, that's serious business. If they don't want to go there and then they end up having to go there, and there's some people that might not feel in a wonderfully safe position as a result of that. You know what I mean?
To mention, there's like people are going to read into it what they choose to read into it. And now there's also a global pandemic on top of like moral issues. And I think it would make sense to not want to put people in the position of like, I wonder what they really are scared of or what, like that's rough. So
yeah. We had a Mace interview. He was fine.
Yeah.
But he's all right. Sure. That's really it. It was his introduction. Cool. Even though I'm told that the rosters don't take effect for 2 more weeks, there's
when
Mace.
When convenient.
There's Mace. Brock Lesnar is back next week. That's cool. But Naomi walks in and she goes, hey, what gives? I should be in this damn tournament, which makes all the sense in the world to me. She should be. But then she says to Adam Pearce, just trade me back to Raw so I don't have to deal with this. And I'm thinking, Sonya runs Raw too, pal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're both here on Mondays as well. Like, whatever. But Sonya's like, you got a match next week. It's me. So I don't know if this will actually happen. If so, it's Sonya's first match since August of 2020. I can tell you guys that there were some pitches and plans for this to happen a while back, but I hope she's back. And I think they should probably do this if they want to throw something towards or throw something at AEW and try to beat them. This is one of the better built matches I've seen WWE have in a long time. They haven't been wrestling each other. They haven't even spent more than like 2 or 3 minutes talking to each other.
No.
It's simple, and I want to see them fight.
And it's not 47 contract signings. Look, like I loved everything about this because they're both doing so many things right, and it feels real. It feels real because Naomi has been stunted by creative so much, and she's a fantastic performer. And on top of that, like there's just all these little things that both of them are doing and leaning into. Today was a really great example of that when Naomi kind of popped off with excitement as if she had been stifled and not having matches and she really wants to wrestle. What a baby face should. And Sonya like was kind of caught off guard by that in a really great way. And I'm like, you're that excited to face me? Like this very slight arrogance and surprise on her face was really great storytelling. I really liked the build of this and I hope this match happens.
Oh, it's going to go to a countout, a DQ, or a no contest, or it won't even get started.
Yeah, in 90 seconds, it'll definitely be a double countout.
Can't just build something and then pay it off and have something good and then move on. If they do, they'll wrestle 200 times.
No, yeah, because we have to have rematches until they start calling each other bitches.
We got Sasha, Bianca, and Becky. They're all in like different spots, but this contract signing doesn't happen. It is a way to tease a big spot for Bianca where she puts both women on her shoulders, but she ends up putting Becky, I think it was, through a table. Do we really need these contract signings things? And then backstage, Pierce has to get the contract signed because nobody signed the damn thing. Sasha was over there on the table. Got a great pop, by the way. She got an amazing reaction.
She deserved out there. It.
Yeah, and it's just like I really thought they'd have something creatively better for Becky Lynch, and I gave them too much credit.
Yes, you did, because we're still talking about the 26-second squash at SummerSlam. I don't know if you know, but their last contract signing was the same story, and now it's the same story plus Sasha leading off the show. I'm so bored. I'm so bored that three of the best women's wrestlers in the world are doing this. It's redundant. It's not great to start with. And it just keeps highlighting how much they've screwed up Becky's return every time they do this. I should have known from this opening segment that this was the way this episode was going to go for me. It wasn't good.
And backstage, Becky hits Adam Pearce in the wiener, I believe it is.
Yes. And
or as I used to say, right in the penis.
She redeemed his nuts.
I wish I had more to say about this, but they haven't given me more to say. Cliff Beard says the big time Bex AR was terrible.
Oh, AR. God. Yeah.
What AR? What?
Those
AR?
Little
graphics
that hang over the ring. Why was she like a little kid in hers? Stupid. They're bad. They're
guys, really bad. Please get your super chats in. Please leave a thumbs up if you're watching this live. It helps out a lot. It tells the people what they should be watching. So backstage, Ray tells Dominic to chill out back there. And Sami Zayn approaches Dominic, and he's very nice. He's like, hey, your dad's a great guy, but you shouldn't be treated like this. You're a grown man. You should be able to stand on your own. And I like that Dominic like didn't go at him or anything. He's like, well, he's just giving me some advice. He's being cool. He's complimentary of my dad. Just says he should be on my own, should be doing my own thing, should be able to be out there. Well, the match is rad because, of course, it is. How the hell is Ray doing this? This is the same Ray Mysterio that we saw in baggy pants and knee braces. Give me those stem cells. Holy crap. Give me those stem cells and that really good weed that he gets. And let's go.
Excuse me.
You sound like you had some of it. You sound like you just had some of that.
I didn't. That's leftover. It's COVID in your lungs. This match was great. And if you had said, like, you know what's going to have really good in-ring chemistry? Rey Mysterio and Sami Zayn, I probably would have raised an eyebrow. Not that they're not both incredible performers, but I just wouldn't have like picked those two. I'm the biggest Punk nerd, and he says that he was like, I could get in a ring with Rey Mysterio right now and lace up our boots and not say a word to him, and we would have a banger. Like, I think Rey is just one of those guys who is that great all the time. I loved this match. It was my favorite match probably on SmackDown, I think, and the only, and it's a minor complaint, but commentary did a few weird things today. And this one was like, Rey Mysterio doesn't have Dominic's help against Sami Zayn today. And I was like, I think that's probably fine because it's Rey freaking Mysterio. Like, it was such an odd, I get what they were trying to do because they're trying to continue the story. But I was like, yeah, I think Rey might have this one on his own. It's Rey Mysterio. Like, that just was off base for me. But I was pleasantly surprised by how great this match was. Rey looked fantastic.
Specifically the Tope Kanguro into the Hurricanrana outside. Unfreaking believable. Even Rey getting that air on that senton when Dominic went up there to try to tie the turnbuckle back. My favorite part was the ref being like, Dominic, don't fix what I screwed up by not seeing this.
And then, he's not even like interfering with the match. He's like, I'm just fixing the.
He's just like, hey, you didn't do very good at your job. Let me help fix this.
Yeah,
this was really, really good. I like this. You know, the finish is what it was. But Cliff Beard says, I'd love to see a King Sami Zayn because I think he'd be like Owen Hart. But then I remember Sammy isn't allowed at Saudi. There you go. Unfortunately, he's not.
True.
Bezos says, I found Becky lying dead on top of Sasha. So funny. But they're about to have another match of the night after Unstoppable COC and Hell in a Cell. Too bad it's going to have a DQ ending. Well, this can't have a DQ ending. It's a triple threat. Unless you mean, they can't.
Don't remind them. They'll find a way to do that.
In Saudi Arabia, where anything goes, of course.
It'll be a triple count out.
De Leo says, I want Woods to win King of the Ring so bad. I know he's not making it through the semis. It is such a nothing tournament that it would be so stupid if he didn't win it. It would just be so stupid.
I mean, it's stupid that they're not on the same brand as Big E, so they're stupid with how they're booking this. I think it would be so cool to have Big E as a champion, Kofi holding like a mid-card title, and Xavier with your King of the Ring. Like, that would be so fun if everybody got to have their individual moments, and not for nothing. But as I mentioned before, sometimes it's good to have tournaments make people. And Xavier hasn't had that singles breakout thing the same way that Big E and Kofi have had their moments. So this would be a really great way to do that. I just have no faith at all.
Jay Shell Nicole says, did you see Chad Gable's tweet about King of the Ring? So a while back, he had tweeted, my chance at redemption, it's written in the stars, King Gable. He was the finalist a couple years ago. Tonight he tweeted, whoops, never mind. It's amazing. Jay Shell says, I'm scared they'll make Woods and Kofi fight. I hope they do. I hope they have a friendly, meaningful match.
A gentleman's match.
Bezos says, they're main eventing SmackDown next week. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, them. That'll go to a DQ. There ain't no finishing that match. Hell no, there ain't no finishing that.
No, that's not happening. There's not.
Yeah, Sasha versus Becky next week. That's a DQ. Yeah, you all are right. I thought you meant the triple threat. That's my fault. Yes. And yes, we did see that tweet. Sorry, I just read it. But Cesaro, Finn Balor, another good one. King of the Ring. How are you feeling about this? The men's side being treated much better than the women's side.
Again, two guys who should have wins facing each other is stupid. You can book literally anything.
I'm okay with it in a tournament, but
I'm not with as great of a performer as Cesaro is and how badly he's been booked. Put him in a situation where he can win. And I felt like both of these guys should have won. The match was great, which is not surprising. Cesaro and Finn are incredible. I guess Cesaro has sleeves now when he comes to the ring. That was a new development. I called him Sleeve Cesaro when I was trying to get my sense of humor back after being mad about Liv. I thought the match was really good. I wish they would do something with Cesaro. I think he's one of the most skilled performers on the roster. I would love Cesaro to be built really well until Mania and be the one to dethrone Roman. That would be like my dream booking. I don't think they're gonna do it.
Well, this match was good. It was solid. It's what you want out of a King of the Ring. You want a good workhorse match like this. I'm all for it. I lost so much confidence in the direction of these tournaments because of how they've done them in the past. Corbin won and he had a great run. We see how the women are being booked. We saw how some of the other stuff in Saudi went. There were some teases about a reunion of the bar. That would be cool. I would love that. I think they would. Cliff Beard says this jacket felt kind of barish to me tonight. I would love that. I think that would be awesome.
Did it feel like the bar, or was it the bar?
Don't be no question that it is the bar that you're feeling when you use BlueChew.com.
Well played, sir. Well played.
And the code Fightful. Finn Balor wins this match. Probably the right person to win, all things considered. We had Roman Reigns coming out with Paul Heyman in the Bloodline. I dig it, but Reigns is like, acknowledge me. By the way, Paul Heyman did exactly what he was supposed to do, so acknowledge him too. And then he accuses Paul Heyman of being like long conning him for Brock, who's back next week. And Heyman has to cut a promo at the camera to Brock Lesnar about Roman Reigns and says that Roman Reigns will beat him. I did not need Roman Reigns' entrance to be this long. I didn't. Like, I'm past the super, super, super long entrance. Every so often, sure. Next week, 2.5 hours, sure. Tonight, when the women are getting 1.5 minutes and 2 minutes each, don't need it. This was the way that they book things when Brock isn't there to do stuff. And it's a placeholder, and I'm okay with that because Paul Heyman talks really well and Roman Reigns talks really well. How'd you feel?
Look, I know if you want Roman Reigns on every episode of television that you do on Friday nights, I get that. I didn't need this segment. There was nothing harmful about it. Paul Heyman's face was precious. He looked like he was being held hostage, and I liked Reigns being like, you know I love you. You know my cousins love you. Like, the manipulation piece of it was fun. Would I have rather have seen a women's match with, get this, like 7 minutes instead of this whole segment? Yeah, certainly at minimum, you could have cut down the entrance. And it also makes those entrances feel less important when you do them every week. Yeah. That, like, in general, I just think that's bad creative. Like, do your quick ones so that when you do a long one, it feels like some sort of statement. But this was perfectly benign. I just didn't need it. And I'm so annoyed with the women's stuff that this whole rest of the episode, that could have been shorter for the women's match.
Did sour that it. Been, it soured
oh,
it a
so
lot.
So much. So much. But at least they followed it up with Madcap Moss.
Amphibious Messiah says, Kate for WWE Creative. Book it, Vince, you coward. That sounds like a terrible thing to wish on her.
Yeah. What did I do to you?
Yeah. Why are you mad at her? Joey Bag of Donuts says, hey, mailman, SRS told me to tell you it's Blue Chew. Well, special delivery. Hopefully you can drop it off by his back door. Jay Shell Nicole
Ben's
says,
gonna need it. I know Joey Bag of Donuts is a Pittsburgh guy, and I'm telling you, Ben's gonna need his Blue Chew.
Jay Shell says, they put heel Sasha with face Bianca in a tag match on Monday against Becky Charlotte. Can they coexist? Is that on the actual show? Or is that like a dark match? I don't know. Man, I get so detached, like, when something terrible, like the booking tonight happens, I'm just like, oh, man. Oh,
especially
man.
When...
But I haven't seen that one come across the assignment board or anything today. I haven't edited an article like that, so.
It's also hard to get invested when you know everything's going to change in another week.
And when you know nothing will have a clean finish. Nothing has a clean finish.
Not totally convinced that Sasha's not going to be used as a face.
There you go.
Not totally convinced about that.
Volob says it should have been Sorrow and Woods in the finals. The party finals. Big Tony versus DeKang. I've been watching a lot more of Up, Up, Down, Down of late. So I'll tell you what we don't really need to talk about. Happy Corbin and Madcap Moss beating up KO again. Like, what? Somebody says, yep, it's on Raw. Oh, that's going to a DQ then. Boy. Wait, I thought these rosters. Never mind.
I hate everything. I don't hate everything. That's wrong. There's a lot of things that I have complaints about in WWE land right now.
Why even tell us? Why keep fucking telling us, pardon my language, that these take place or these take effect in a few weeks? Just say, It what the hell, for 3 weeks. These are the people you're going to get to see. Super show, man.
Just do the draft later.
You know what? I'd rather cover terrible wrestling than anything else. It's just goddamn. Make it make sense, please. There's nothing to talk about. Happy Corbin, Madcap. We've seen this before. We know what this is. Cool. Whatever.
If you're listening... Please save Tony. Kevin.
Oh, Tony's begging to go up against a Madcap Moss segment next week. Matt Reichiel says, one of the best booked things in the show is on WWE is Rollins versus Edge, Hell in a Cell. It's October, so there has to be a Hell in a Cell match. Well, buddy, there was a pay-per-view full of them once upon a time. Well, we got Seth Rollins. He's calling Edge out. Edge does not come out for a while. Then he's driving up after Rollins, like, attacks his family, complains about that, or says that he's, you know, he's not the man that he needs to be for his family. They'd be ashamed of him. Edge comes out and attacks, throws him into Pat McAfee, who is tripping off shrooms and all kinds of stuff. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. Like, all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Like, everybody's doing drugs, apparently, in wrestling today. Like, that's just the deal. So good for him. But then Edge says there's only one way to settle this. Hell in a Cell. I'm sure the match will be good. I'm pretty sure, like, Rollins is getting PTSD. He's like, no. Because his last Hell in a Cell match, his only one. Or no, he had one he's had them against Moxley and Owens, and I feel like maybe another one, but Edge only had one, but Rollins' last one was it
2019,
The Fiend. But we had three of these in a week, three of them in a week, or no, four of them in a week, sorry, a couple months ago. So that kind of diminishes the value of them. How are you feeling about this?
I think the match will be good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the score that we're settling right now. So first of all, they edited last week's video package together. I actually really liked last week's segments, but I do have to give credit to Alex Pawlowski because he pointed something out that was very evident in this, which was that at no point was Beth Phoenix and their children's lives in danger. He went in there and was eating apples and criticizing artwork. So it was a very dramatic package today. And that was all I could think about. So thank you, Alex, for ruining that for me. I mean that in a real way. Thank you sincerely. I don't get the point of the blow-off match. I don't get why they're not talking about the fact that they both have one win against each other. I feel like there's a lot of like promo juice around this and nobody's saying anything that warrants them having a third match. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
I felt like I talked a lot and didn't say anything,
They do everything like three or four times, and not everything needs to be three or four times. Sometimes you just have one freaking match.
Their first two had very different stories and I thought that was great. Like, I liked the differential in the stories that they told in the first and second match. I don't know what the point of the third one is.
They did, in fact, announce Bianca, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky for Raw. That was during tonight's show. And when I was, like, our site unfortunately glitched tonight. We got that fixed, though, guys. Apologies for the inconvenience. But, yeah, that one came across a little bit late to me. But, hey, it's happening. And you all can look forward to the DQ as much as I do. But what you can look forward to tomorrow is Grab City Pod at noon Eastern. Then tomorrow night, you got Knockouts Knockdown. Kate, Denise reviewing that show. Then we got Deontay Wilder versus Tyson Fury 3. We're doing a Fightful Fight Night watch along. Kate, tell the people where they can find you.
Oh, they can find me hanging out with Denise tomorrow. They can find me at Kate on Deck IC on Twitter. You can catch me every Tuesdays. Just going bananas, I guess, now with Alex Pawlowski after NXT 2.0.
Racking up those billable hours.
I am making that money by mostly just sitting back and laughing at him doing impressions. What a dream life. Wednesdays, you can catch me on the Mark Order Podcast at Mark Order Pod on Twitter. And we talk all things All Elite every Wednesday after Dynamite. And then Fridays, right back here with my fellow skater, Sean Ross Sapp, doing what we do best over here. So
Clipbeard says, can't wait till this weekend to see the team up of Killer Kate, not Catalina, and Hollywood Salcedo. Let's go, team badass babes.
And thank Crims, you.
And Crimson says, it's a real problem when 97 Batman and Robin with George Clooney makes more sense than WWE. In your opinions, have they reached WWE levels of bad yet? At times, yes. At times, yes, they have. It's beyond WCW levels of disinteresting because it's the same shit over and over. and you don't have any confidence in the booking. So it's like that in that I don't have confidence in the booking, but the talent level is way different. Oh my gosh, Kate.
Joey, I guess my dog really likes WCW. I'm really sorry.
You stop talking that shit.
Buster. Look,
Joey Bag of Donuts says Kate's New York accent is the best. We're getting out of here. We're out of time. We gotta go. We gotta save our dog. Oh my gosh.
Buster, Hensler.
She's getting eaten by a dog. We gotta go.
That was more
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.